want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. It is Monday. It is a marvelous way to get our week started here as we feed ourselves spiritually and dive into God's Word and allow Him to teach us the things that He wants us to know. And so I pray that you've been able to be a blessing to someone this last week. I was out and about in the community, and one day they had reopened the ice cream place that's near our church. Used to be a Dairy Queen, now it's called Parkway Creamery. And I decided that I was just going to drive through, grab me an ice cream. They had a sign up there, and it said, "Be a blessing to someone," or something along those lines. And it's like, that's the mission statement of our church. We want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our family. We want to be a blessing to our church and be a blessing to our community. We want to be a blessing spiritually and financially and relationally. And however we can be, that's why we exist. And so I pray that you will go out and be a blessing to someone this week. I want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air has been around for getting close to 50 years now. They provide professional sales, services, and repairs. They do all three of those things for air conditioning systems, heating systems, and electrical issues. They work in residential settings primarily, but they do some light commercial settings as well, and even provide emergency service when necessary. Their license numbers are RA00668854. And EC13002439. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Again, their phone number is 321-632-9538. They strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price, and you can reach them at 321-632-9538 so you can maintain your cool this summer. So today we are going to go to Psalm 95, and I'm just going to grab my notes over here and move them a little closer. Got my Bible spread out, my calendar spread out, and I just got all sorts of things spread out here, so I'm just going to bring that over a little bit closer so that I can see it. So verse number 8 of Psalm 95 says this: "Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow." So, here, the psalmist begins by asking us a question, and it's addressed to people that are described as fools. And he says, "When will you be wise?" And basically, the question to start off with is, how long will we choose to remain in the same uninformed condition that we have existed in? When are we going to realize that we need to change our thinking so we can change our understanding? And that's a question that is entirely up to you as to when that change, that transformation happens in your life. I can tell you that America thinks differently in 2023, 2024, actually. That's the first time I've done that all year. America thinks differently in 2024 than it did 50 years ago. And it was thinking differently then than it was 50 years before that. But the change in thought processes does not necessarily mean that it has been a change for the better. Sometimes change can go the opposite direction, and that is what we see. We are looking at a society, a culture around us where there is a lack of understanding about spiritual matters and how it impacts the other areas of our life. And so I pray that America will not have to get to the point where a person can ask this question. I remember hearing it years and years ago. How bad is it? I remember the preacher who asked this question. He said, how bad is it in America right now? And the answer was, it's not bad enough. And what he meant by that was, it had not reached the point that it was so bad that people were willing to make the changes that were necessary. So, in response to the question, when will you be wise? Verse number 9 says, he who planted the ear, shall he not hear? And he who formed the eye, shall he not see? Both of those would be referring to God as our creator, that he created us with the ability to hear. He created us with the ability to see. Verse number 10 asks another question, and that is this. He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. So, one of the aspects of being willing to change and being willing to learn and to be able to learn from God is that we have to be able to receive correction. And that is something that not all of us are willing to do. We don't like to be wrong, and we don't like to be corrected. I've known people that the only way that you could end a disagreement with them is if they heard the words, you're right. At one point in time, I was in a discussion with them, and I had one perspective, and they had another, and I was well-grounded in mine from a scriptural standpoint, and I said, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. And they didn't like that answer. They said, well, that's not a very biblical response. And it was because that person always had to be told they were right. Even if they were wrong, they were right in their mind. And one of the things that I have found is if I'm wrong, I want to be told that I'm wrong. I want to be told I'm wrong in the correct manner. And so that the instruction that God gives to us is not just to us as individuals. He says, he who instructs the nations. The word nation simply means people groups. And so you could be in a culture of foolishness, but yet if you find yourself a part of the body of Christ, that is listening to God, humbled yourself before God, received the mercy and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, that you are being taught the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding, and you understand that with God's instruction, he brings correction. And like I say, that nobody necessarily likes to be corrected until you see the results of what that correction looks like. So I've mentioned here on the radio a number of times throughout the years that I like to play golf. I'm going to be playing in a golf tournament here in a few weeks. I've been planning on it for months. But I don't get to play as much as I would like. So one night we are sitting in our living room, and I'm just scrolling through a bunch of photos on my phone and deleting things that, you know, could be deleted. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to take a picture of this and I'm going to take a picture of that. And there was a reason for the picture, but that reason, you know, I didn't need to carry that picture around anymore. You know, a model number of something that I needed to get at the store or something like that. So I'm going through and I'm weeding these out, and I saw a video. I actually saw two videos of my golf swing that somebody had made for me at a golf tournament years ago. And I said, dear Lord, that is the worst old man golf swing that I have ever seen on video of myself. And so because I saw what it looked like from someone else's perspective, it gave me insight as to what I thought I was seeing versus what I should have been seeing and what I should have been doing. And when I looked at that and said, okay, the problem's not the golf ball, the problem is not the tee, the problem is not the golf course, the problem is the golfer, then I made the correction, and my score, my swing got better, my scores got better, and then I didn't get to play for several weeks. So we'll have to see how that goes. But it came because I was willing to admit there's some course corrections that I need to make in my life. And so you need people in your life that can speak correction to you in love. Not everybody who uses the term constructive criticism understands what it means. A lot of people think that just because they want to tell somebody what they're critical about, that makes it constructive criticism. Well, if you tell me I'm too short, I there's nothing I can do about that. You know, so if you say you're too short, that's criticism, but it's not constructive criticism. If you talk to somebody and say, you know, I don't like your voice, there's not much I can do about that. Except for just continue to use the one that I've got for the glory of God. If you say, I think that you could, improve your effectiveness by making this change in your presentation, now all of a sudden we are talking about something that is transformative, and there can be something that is done about it. So God instructs the nations, and it says, shall he not correct? God is the perfect person to speak correction into my life and into your life. And if we listen to him, he'll use the still small voice. If we are resistant to his promptings of correction, then he raises the volume. If we're still resistant, he will use external voices to speak correction into our life. And if we still refuse correction, we'll find ourselves in a position where there will be mandated correction. And I pray that we do not have to get to that place as a country where we have been so resistant to the Word of God and the God of His Word that we find ourselves in a mandatory season of correction. So it says, he who teaches man knowledge. And like we've talked about here on the program, it is not just teaching man knowledge of facts. knowledge of techniques or knowledge of processes. But the most important thing is to know God. So the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. I've mentioned here on the radio program several times through the years about there was a Friday night I was at the church because the power was out at our house, and someone called and they wanted to know if they could meet with me. And I said, well, why don't you come to church? Why don't you sit under the ministry of the Word and, you know, then see if you actually want to have a conversation. And so they did, and we did, and we started talking about thinking, and they made this statement, and it's one of those things that I, you know, it made an impression on me. They said, I only know how to think the way that I know how to think. I don't know how other people think. And that is a great point of reference to begin to change. And when you know that the way that you have been thinking is resulting in frustration and ineffectiveness, you can continue to do the same thing over and over and over again, but you're going to continue to get the same results. So we don't want to do that. We want God to change us to where the way that we think represents the reality of who we are, so that our thoughts are productive instead of futile. So it says in verse number 12, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. So here, again, that's Psalm 95, verse number 12. We see that being instructed by God, being taught by God's word, by the people that God places in our lives, that is not punitive. It is actually a blessing. So I list the primary blessing, the first real blessing in a person's life, is when they receive the gift of repentance from their sins. I don't consider money before that point to be a blessing. It can be an asset, but blessings are only blessings when they lead us into a greater awareness of who God is, and a greater appreciation for the people around us and what God wants to do in our lives, and what he wants to do in their lives, and what he wants to do through us. So whenever we come to that place where we have the relationship with God, and we realize that he's the one in charge, not us. He's in charge of the lesson plan, not us. He provides all the materials, not us. And he instructs us according to his law, to his word that is settled truth forever and ever. Amen. What a blessing. So when I was in college, there were a lot of different time offerings where subject matters were being offered. So it might be offered on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m. It might be offered Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2 p.m. And if you were not a morning person, you didn't want the 8 a.m. class, you wanted the 2 p.m. class. And sometimes it might not have been when the class was offered, but it might have been the professor who was being offered to teach that class, and you wanted to be in that class. And then you would go to the registrar and say, okay, I want this class right here. And they would say, I'm sorry, that class is full. And then you had to go back to the drawing board and get whatever you could get that was left. So my daughter missed out on a class that would have given her a minor to go with her major, but she missed out on that because for the 4 years that she was there, there was always a schedule conflict that didn't allow her to get one of the required courses in order to have a minor in that. So God teaches us out of his law, and it's a prerequisite. It's required. There are no special exemptions, no caveats. There's no, okay, this applies to everybody on planet Earth, but you, that is not a special dispensation from God. That is deception from the enemy. So I've had people that told me, well, you know, God told me it was okay. Well, his word says that it's not. So who am I to believe, the God whose word is settled forever, or am I supposed to believe you because you've heard something that you wanted to hear? And so I make the unpopular decision to, I'm going to choose to believe God's word and tell you the truth. That's not reality. So God teaches us out of his law. Why? Why does God want to instruct the nations? Why does he want to correct the nations? Why does he want to teach us knowledge? Why does he want to teach us out of his law? And why does he want to bless us with that instruction? Verse number 13 says this, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. God teaches us and blesses us with his classroom instruction, if you will, because he doesn't want us experiencing the misery and the heartache, the pain and the trauma that the adversities of life can bring. So, how miserable do you want to be? I personally want to have a very, very low misery index indicator. I don't like misery in my life. I don't like heartache in my life. I don't like pain in my life. I want life to be as fruitful, as jubilant, as healthy and productive as it can be. And so I realize what a blessing it is to sit under God's instruction, for his word to take root in my life, because I know it's going to produce a spiritual harvest. It's going to produce a harvest of rest. I remember a conversation that I had with a relative. They're basically the same age as my dad. And I would imagine she's probably about the same age of my mother. I don't remember exactly where their age dynamic fell. But I remember them talking about when they were young and newly married, that they just wanted to go, do all of the time. And so their kids would have probably been teenagers at that point in time. And may have been in high school, and they had three kids that were just a little bit younger than my brother and sister and myself. And when you've got kids that are in three different grades, three different schools, they can have activities every night during the week. And I remember them saying, you know, we've reached that stage where we celebrate a night off where we can just rest. Well, that's physical rest. That may even be emotional rest, but God teaches us the blessings of spiritual rest. And that spiritual rest does not necessarily mean that we will not have challenges that we face, or mountains to scale, or adversity to overcome. It just means that we are going to approach it with a spiritual rest that God has provided, knowing that God was here before the problem and God will be here after the problem, that the problem is not smarter than God. The problem is not greater than God. And so as long as we're walking in covenant relationship with him, we're going to learn something out of this journey, not be defeated by the challenge. Verse number 14 talks about what gave the psalmist this great amount of peace. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. So when you're in class, you know that the instructor is going to do his job. You know that he's not going to abandon ship. And so I pray that all of us would realize that God doesn't disappear during seasons of adversity. He shows up. He doesn't sail off into the clear blue waters, right off into the sunset whenever the going gets tough. He says, class is still in session. You're going to know me better than you've ever known me. To give you a scriptural illustration from the New Testament, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So these professional fishermen get into their boat and they start going across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm rises up in the middle of their journey, and they're not making headway. They are rowing with all of their might and with all of their strength. Jesus is sound asleep. They wake him up and they say, don't you care? Don't you care that we perish? We're going to die here in the ocean. And Jesus stands up and speaks to the storm and says, peace, be still. He said, why were you all afraid? If God has ordered the journey, and God's providing for the journey, and God's accompanying on the journey, understand that just like the disciples learned that Jesus had authority over the storm on the Sea of Galilee, he's got authority over the storms in your life as well. And you and I don't have to be afraid. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you don't see Jesus panicking, you don't have to panic either. You can trust him. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not cast you aside. He will be with you till the very end. Learn the rest, even in the adverse days, because Jesus is on the throne. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.